to wonder, though, is there like a Garbage Pail Kids version where it's like Sadians or some sort of juxtaposition of it? Because that's all I can think of now is just like really soggy and nasty alternatives. Basically, just a bag of sliced onions.
Oh, I thought the antithesis would be something that is a terrible name, like Sadians, but was actually really healthy for you.
Funyuns, Boryuns.
Or it'd just be air all in the bag, and you'd open it up, and it's the same kind of chemical effect that makes your eyes water when you cut onions. So it's just, it makes you sad by opening the bag.
Or you could go the other way and go the first part of onions, go like unbore or unning. It could be onions.
Ungrosses. Something.
Words.
Words.
Together to form another one. That's what I'd go with.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this might be a good time as any to start episode 122. So, Bennett, James, thank you very much for joining us.
Hey. Thank you.
Yes, thank enthusiasm.
You. Thank you, gentlemen.
Mm. Woo!
Yes.
Ow. Episode 122 on March the 25th. I should probably mention that just so I remember that when I edit this later and say that that's when we tape this.
That's when the date is, indeed. I remembered it because it's now.
This Funyun is delicious.
Mm. Plug. So I've a little news to start out with, and I did try doing the pseudo reformatting again. So we'll see how this works. But according to an article from CNET, Edison Research just released the results of a poll that lists iTunes Radio as the third most popular music streaming service behind Pandora and iHeartRadio. The six-month-old service surpassed Spotify in the survey of roughly 2,000 folks aged 12 and above, selected at random via annoying telephone polling. The survey was conducted in both English and Spanish, but biasly ignored Swahili, Brazilian Portuguese, and Dutch, and expected the 0.0006% of the U.S. population to accurately reflect the streaming music habits of the masses. So, good job, Edison Research. But with that issue aside, I thought it'd be fun to pseudo-celebrate the Apple's rise to the third on the list by listing our top three iTunes, radio, Pandora style stations. You know, everyone knows how that works, right? Where it's artist or song dictates a playlist to some degree.
Yes.
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 By listing our top three lists for that. And then at the same time, I also thought it'd be fun to create our own torture device of a station that we would inflict on our enemies when we become wacky dictators of a country in Asia we will call Midwest Korea.
Okay, so the goal here is...
Top three, like, radio list, like, you know, one of mine would be Cake, because I love to listen to Cake the Band, okay. And kind of that 90s alt-rock.
I was like, you persuasion. Made it sound like we're supposed to list services. I'm like, I only know, like, three, but you want us to make a station.
The station, make it, like, make you know, if you have three go-to okay. stations, and one that you would love to inflict onto your enemies.
All right.
Because, like, I know that there's a lot of... ambient radio kind of stuff out there at the same time, and is there like a Chinese water torture equivalent of audio? And I'd have to wonder if that exists, if you could inflict that on somebody to, like, if the fictitious but equally interesting brown noise that was tackled in an episode of South Park, among other things, if you could just kind of have that randomly play at weird intervals and just set loose bowels of NASCAR drivers.
Because, you know, you know what they say, one man's kryptonite is another man's bizarro kryptonite.
So you're saying you like Three Doors Down for your first station. Or Spin Doctors.
Pocket full of.
Or Nickelback.
I just avoid listening to music. Don't lie. I don't like. I'm never like, oh, man. Well, I mean, hate this so much. Let's listen.
The awareness of pop culture to some degree. But Adam, start us off. Top three stations, you'd say. Get the ball rolling.
That I would sick on my enemies?
You first.
For you.
Okay, for me first. Okay.
In the Grand Palace in Midwest Korea.
Well, Katie and I have been listening to, like, Vampire Weekend Radio usually yields... that nice result of, you know, the indie rock.
Indie college rock.
Yeah. that I enjoy thoroughly. Block Party Radio is an old favorite of mine. I also, Miles Davis Radio actually has come up with some really nice stuff too. So I'll say those three.
And then for your enemies?
The one that I would inflict on my enemies, depending on who my enemies are, if my enemies are anything like me, I would inflict on them boy band radio.
See, but because
sometimes at work, some of my coworkers like to play boy band radio, and I hate it.
But Adam, it's you are my fire.
Yeah, I would
listen to that all day long.
It's like classical boy band radio, but
classical, you know, with some strings in the background. Vivaldi, you know, he is the sixth Backstreet Boy.
Bennett, will you come to my workplace and just sing your start serenading? Of...
And then we three kings.
Oh, but yeah, yeah.
Any day.
Just okay. Yeah,
James. How about
happy
you?
Thoughts. Happy thoughts. Okay.
I'm a 90s alternative guy, and so I like to skew on the soft side of that for Pandora and those types of stations, because otherwise, for some reason, when you put in like hard rock, like a Nirvana or like a Foo Fighters from 90s alternative, you start end up like skewing to like other like 80s hair rock too, and
yeah, like it ebbs in.
So I'll go with Gin Blossoms Radio. Ooh. Which will give me everything from Gin Blossoms to Toe the West Sprocket to Blues Traveler to, I don't know, any other imaginary things. And then I really enjoy listening to classical music when I'm working, and I particularly enjoy Eric Satie, so I'd say Eric Satie Radio is fantastic. And then the other one that I have, which surprisingly brings everything from other kind of outlaw, old school country, George Jonesy types, Waylon Jennings, to like Creedence Clearwater Revival and like 70s more kind of rock and roll, is Johnny Cash. So yeah, those are my three. If I have to inflict on other people, I would undoubtedly choose my breakpoint in when 90s alternative rock stopped being good, which would be the advent of Creed. And so Creed radio would be the joy that I would inflict upon others.
I will go on record saying that I did buy that album for a girlfriend at the time.
Nice.
And that relationship did not last, so yeah, it kind of was foreboding.
If I have a PS, my PS for number four is Mark Mothersbaugh from Devo,
yeah,
but also all of, because he's the composer for all of the Wes Anderson stuff, if you put that in, you will get everything from Devo to like Life Aquatic stuff, which is...
Plus a little bit of Rugrats?
Yes, or a thing, so...
Can you take me higher? Okay.
Yeah, that was a veto right there.
Yeah.
But appropriate. So, Bennett, what about you?
I think to get a good list going, I would do Jonathan Coltrane.
Hmm.
He did this thing called Thing a Week, I think for a year, where he wrote a new song every week. They weren't all songs. Some of them were covers. Glee actually stole one of his songs and didn't credit him for their show.
Yeah, I remember that. It's because he did a cover of something else and then they played his adaptation of
it. Yeah, because they like list his initials during the rap on TV and they're like, no, we just made this up. But he has a large variety of like sort of...
I would say like he does like acoustic-y...
Yeah, yeah. He has a nice acoustic sound. Because
I think I have a track of his. He did Baby Got Back for one of them.
That's the one they ripped off.
Yeah.
And then I think that would give you a nice sort of easy to listen to basis. And the other one I would do is Jim's Big Ego.
Ooh, because he does a ton.
I really wish they had the Ballad of Barry Allen on Pandora because it never comes up. And I love Jim's Big Ego stuff because he sings like a bunch of great, just nerdy as hell songs.
Mm-hmm.
And the Ballad of Barry Allen is how I found him, and it's just this amazing song about the Flash.
Stress was my gateway.
Yeah, and he like that would take care of all of my nerdy songs. I would pretty much guarantee. And then my last one is going to have to be Bright Eyes. I don't know if it would make a good station or not. They're just my favorite band, or at least they have my favorite song.
Sure.
And they do a lot of good like storytelling in their songs, which I guess you could go Johnny Cash if you want that too, because yeah. Cash is the man. But
yeah. Well, I mean, for Pandora, I know, well, actually for both Pandora and iTunes Radio, you can dictate the station by the song. So you could do favorite song of Bright Eyes to try to dictate a station, but I don't know, not knowing the exact song.
I Believe in Symmetry was, I mean, it was kind of my high school anthem.
It was your jam.
It was like, yeah, this is my favorite song of all time because I listen to it over and over and over and over again. And then for Inflict on My Enemies, not because I dislike the band, because I like them a lot, but just because it ends up destroying your station and spiraling it out of control, is a The Lonely Island Boys, because you will get a bunch of stand-up comedy mixed in with a bunch of hardcore rap. And those two just,
it really
works for their style, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
But those two together in a station, like, when I put in any of their songs to my station, like, I've been trying to, like, weed out all those other ones, because it just messes it up, and you can't be listening to somebody just talking and telling jokes and laughing, and then go into, you know, snorting drugs off hooker's back or whatever. Like, it's just
as too all much the disparity go these days.
Yes.
So I have a question to ask everybody. When you guys build up your streaming music playlist, do you add additional bands, like, not just liking, or, you know, kind of like saying thumbs I'd like up, more from this band, yeah, thumbs up, thumbs down, but actually like adding another artist for and sure. making like dynamic things, or do you keep
iTunes
you
does keep have some pure the customization to that, where you can kind of layer a couple artists or songs in there, and even say to what frequency you want to layer them in, so you kind of have the ultimate control of like, well, I want to do a little bit of Blues Traveler, and I just want to like dial down, you know, based on their presence in the new Blues Brothers movie, you know, dial in a little bit of Blues Brothers to get a little bit of that classic blues in there at the same time, but not too much because I want to stick in the 90s rock, you know. Yeah. So you can layer it in there, and I've done that for a few of my stations.
I've been building my station since like junior, senior year of college, and I will, if I find new bands that aren't like I haven't currently, that I don't find through Pandora, I will add either individual songs, like I added Everything is Awesome from the Lego Movie.
Oh, yeah.
Or bands if I really like them. Like, I had thumbsed up some No More Kings, and then I was just like, okay, I better just add them so the station, you know, knows. That's what I like. But I don't know my own music taste well enough to be able to go into something like, oh, I want this percent and this percent, because I don't know what, like, I don't know enough about music.
You don't need that fine tune of a look.
Well, I'd butcher it. I'd make the station that just doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
You know, versus where Pandora, I'm just like, thumbs up, thumbs down.
The station I want to make for you, Bennett, is Bright Eyes and Total Eclipse of the Heart. Like, together.
Yeah.
But we'll call it the turnaround Bright Eyes.
My life.
Now there's only love in the talk.
So before we hop on to the next one, my three would be Cake, Blues Traveler, realistically, Rage Against the Machine, and then my torture device would be ABBA. And I would dictate it where it'd only be ABBA, because, you know, the music's not horrible, but that song gets, like, any of their music gets stuck in your head, and it will not leave.
Yeah.
I've had days where I just have a song stuck in my head the whole day, and there's nothing I can do about it.
See, I would, if I was going to inflict it on them, I would have the movie soundtrack to Mamma Mia, because I don't know. So this is my thing, is when people do, now that they're doing all these different musicals based on the music of so-and-so,
sure.
It's like when my brother, I love you, David, listens to the Across the Universe soundtrack, and mm-hmm. he really likes some of the covers, and I'm like a total purist about some of them, and I'm like, absolutely not. And so, but Mamma Mia is like really faithful to the, like, the real songs, but it's like just off enough that, you know, like if you really loved ABBA, it would like drive you bananas. And that's the same way. It's like sometimes you hear a cover of something, you're just like, no.
Or they borrow, wasn't there like a banana song that borrowed Radar Love, and every time they did the dun dun, I wanted to be like, Radar. Oh no, that's not this song.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, so the next one. An article was recently published on Quartz, which is QZ.com for anyone who cares. They ran a feature on Wolfpack, a Michiganian funk band that learned how to scam Spotify into paying out additional royalties to the group. But before I tell you how it happened, I want speculation. How did Wolfpack scam Spotify? How do you think they got them to get pay out more royalties for them?
My 3-minute song is actually composed of 180 individual songs.
All right, James, do you have a...
I'm going to say that they named their songs and albums after things were extremely close, so that they would go and you'd be searching for something and they would be all common misspellings of actual songs.
And Adam.
That sounds pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
They just flooded the whole thing with lots and lots of tracks. Lots and lots of tracks.
So no one nailed it, but everyone was kind of not too far off. They recorded an album of complete silence, which they encourage fans to listen to while they are asleep. The album is called Sleepify, and it's 10 tracks long. And if the fans listen to it on repeat throughout the night, the band will make $4. So, according to the band's frontman, Jack Stratton.
Wow.
And it's 10 tracks, and the first track is titled Z, and the second track is 2 Z's, and then the next one's 3 Z's, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And so a spokesman for Spotify has called the album a clever stunt, and that Spotify has contacted the band, but there are no outlined plans to crack down on silent music. But to bring this to perspective, they have the monthly royalties paid out from July 2013. So like niche indie album got about $3,000 for the month. A classic rock album would get about $17,000 per month. A breakthrough indie album would get about $76,000 per month. A Spotify Top 10 album would get $145,000 per month. And a global hit album would get just short of $500,000 in that month, where Spotify paid out $500 million in royalties last year. So they basically told people to go onto Spotify, just turn on the track, put their phone away, and just have it run through the night, and it'd just pay them.
Do we know where they came in or how much they were able to scam for?
It's the article came out about 4 days ago, 5 days ago at this point. So there isn't an official figure yet. They'd probably get their royalties check at the end of March. But I believe the plan was actually to use that money coming in to supplement a tour, where if there's a certain area that maybe had more listeners throughout, then they would try to make sure to have a tour stop there. And it's, in case you're looking up anything with the phone, it is VULFPECK. Because I actually did make a playlist on my
Spotify. VULFPUCK?
PECK. Peck.
Got it.
And I did make a Spotify playlist so I can show everyone the beauty of their album cover.
Nice. That's actually quite nice.
It's actually pretty artsy. So I thought maybe for a second we could listen to a selection. I'm going to do track. Oh, and each track is about 30 to 31 seconds. Okay, that's that one. So
30 excellent. To 31 seconds. So right on the money with the...
I'd have to say this is pretty captivating stuff.
Fantastic. I might add that to my to my Eric Satie playlist.
How did they get it so quiet.
Though I've heard that, you know, there's like the weird Art Nouveau ads, or ads, songs that were out there and albums that were out there that did something very similar where it's just more like ambient sounds of studio sounds of nothing.
Yeah, they shouldn't crack down on white noise because people need that stuff to like...
Oh yeah, I mean I...
Sleep.
Yeah. But I mean, I mean like ambient, almost just like somebody bumps a coffee mug on a table and that's like the one thing you hear in the entire track. Like it's next to nothing.
I've made tons of those albums.
Yeah.
That'd be hilarious actually if there was just like, you know, complete silence or just a nice white noise track and then you just hear something break and then you hear someone quietly say,
shit,
shit.
Though, as we're getting close to commercial time, but James, you definitely came in prepared, I believe, with a couple stories or concepts, or you'd pitched a few to me at least, so I wasn't sure if you had any executable concepts for us.
Well, we talked a little bit before we started rolling about other streaming things that have come online recently and kind of questions about the future of how we're delivering content, which is a huge part of streaming media. And one of the things that I brought up was World Wrestling Entertainment, or formerly World Wrestling Federation. Over the last 10 years, as their competitors have kind of folded or they've bought them out or anything, has bought up just tons and tons of tape libraries. And basically for the last 5 years, they've been digitizing everything. And they recently opted, rather than doing a cable pay subscription service, to do a streaming service, which is being operated by the MLB at Media, the Major League Baseball media conglomerate that runs all of Major League Baseball's streaming services and kind of historical content, and just an interesting blend of live stream that's like constantly adding content as it plays 24/7. And then they also use it as supplement to their live television. So they have pre-shows and post-shows for all their weekly television and additionally for all of their pay-per-views. And then they've also, in what may be a stroke of genius and what may really change the way that they're doing the kind of economics of their business, is they've added all of their pay-per-view to this subscription service, which is in the kind of Hulu, Netflix, $10 a month streaming service kind of category. You can have two unique IP addresses that are accessing at the same time. And it's pretty astounding. They have 1,500 hours to start off with of content on, and then as they're kind of playing these things, they're saying they're going to be kind of continually adding and then taking some content off or kind of like updating or
recycling it a little bit just to keep it fresh in a way.
Yeah, and so there's kind of like a dual, there's kind of like one interface, and you can either kind of choose to start the live stream when you're accessing it. You can access it from phone, you can access it from smart TVs, PlayStations, Xboxes, kind of the whole kit and caboodle, although Xboxes has some issues with the 360 because of the content controls.
Mm-hmm.
For the like TV 14. When people were going on, they weren't able to access, I think, pay-per-view and TV events that had been digitized that had like a tag for TV 14 embedded. So if you have like the default on your Xbox 360 says like you can't see anything more violent than that, then like all of those things didn't come up as options. So,
sure.
But very interesting. Tried it out. A bunch of friends have been splitting it just to kind of see what it is. They did an initial like 6 month subscription, so it was like 6 months for $60. But that started just after the last pay per view in time for WrestleMania season, which is like the big wrestling thing. And so WrestleMania, which I think you can order via pay-per-view for like $60, it's a 4-hour event, is just included, you know. So rather than, you know, 10 people getting together and all chipping in $6, we all get together and like buy steaks and grill them instead of, you know, hot dogs. So yeah. It'll be interesting kind of moving forward, seeing how this kind of influences their regular business, and that they are also at the same time renegotiating all of their TV rights at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been in conversation. I think Viacom, the like whole Viacom conglomerate, had their previous deal, or NBC Universal's that all one. I don't know. I can't.
Comcast, NBC is all okay. One big.
So I think it's Comcast, NBC that had it previously, and so that they've been talking, you know, because they've been on any number of different networks. So just interesting to see the interplay between kind of a traditional cable service and a streaming service starting to kind of hybridize mm-hmm. as a business model. So I don't have any clever questions to ask you about it, but I'm an old format type of guy. Go back and listen to the pre-100 episodes. You'll see me.
But you filled it out with more news. Mine was more like, and here's a slice of the news and activity. So it balanced.
Yours is probably more fun. Yeah. So I'll ask, who's your favorite wrestler of all time?
The guy who did the Slim Jim commercials, because that's my knowledge. No.
Macho Man Randy Savage?
I'm going to say The Rock, thanks to the Scorpion King.
Oh, yeah.
And Escape to Witch Mountain, though I didn't see that one. And the Tooth Fairy. He was in Be Cool? Wasn't he in part of Be Cool? No.
That was a terrible, terrible movie.
I never saw that one. I just remember Get Shorty, and I loved that one. So.
I don't know. Andre the Giant.
Oh, damn it.
I would have to say my favorite's not a wrestler, it's a judge. Judge Mills Lane.
That's a good
one. That's like wrestling, right?
Did you know that you could slide a hard-boiled egg through one of Andre the Giant's rings? That's how big his fingers were.
Really?
Yeah,
that's crazy. Awesome.
How big's the egg?
You know, honorary mention to Jesse Ventura, he would be on my list.
Yeah.
Because our governor can still beat up your governor.
Yep.
All right. That was my big news.
And then I just have one quick plug before we go into commercial.
Plug it.
Amazon Prime is upping their price from $79 per year to $99 per year. But that price change isn't going into effect till April 15th or 17th, one of the two. But you can re-up your subscription now for the $79 per year price beforehand, so if anyone wants to get in before the price change happens, you can do that. So go do that and save $20.
Get in under the wire, kids.
Because it's worth it. It's they're kind of like picking up the dropping. That's a bad way to put it. they're picking up things that Netflix casts aside and is building their library as a result through a lot of partnerships. So if you're looking for something that is no longer available on Netflix, there's a good chance it has moved over to Amazon Prime and is worth your time. A lot more TV than movies that
I
found.
The pilot for Zombieland, the TV series, was
on there.
Prime.
But Alpha House beat them out for the let's make a show. Like, they actually made Alpha House for some reason.
I don't even know what Alpha House is, but I'm so glad that happened, because that pilot was a crime against humanity.
What, the Zombieland pilot?
Yeah.
I liked it.
Oh.
Alpha House is John Candy. No, not John Candy. He's dead. John Goodman. Big guy in some respects, anyway. Living in a political house with a couple other senators of sorts, and then it's just like it's very fratty. It's the fratty brother of Kevin Spacey. That was the one that was going to be my honorable mention for the Pandora station. Kevin Spacey station is a Rat Pack style station. So Kevin Spacey, if you're a fan of that stuff,
nice.
But it'd be a good time for a commercial, so we should go do that and then come back and be ready for some sort of game of sorts.
Yes.
But not of Thrones, because no one needs to die.
But everyone needs to die. Or win.
Creepy.
The Game of Thrones. Nice creepy ender.
Hello, Buffering listeners. This is Dan Whalen. Thank you very much for listening to episode 122 of the Buffering Podcast, which Adam Erdman and I taped on March 25th, 2014, in the Wheels Brewing Co. studio in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Of course, you've heard we were joined by our guests James Wheeler and Bennett Wadecamper. We had a wonderful time with them with our new experimental format, where there's a little more, I don't want to say forced participation, but it's not just Dan reads the news and then people try to react. We try to have a little more fun with it and make it informative at the same time. So hopefully you're enjoying that. Coming up, we decided that we were going to play Build a Title this week, and it's a great round, but we also had an excellent practice round to get our minds working, so definitely check that out at bufferingpodcast.com, where you can find a full archive of all of our episodes, plus more bonus tracks like our mic check from that show, this practice round, conversations we've had from other episodes, all of that, bufferingpodcast.com. As well as photos, articles, news, all that stuff, bufferingpodcast.com. You can also find the Buffering Podcast on iTunes by searching for Buffering Podcast, or my name, or Adam's name, or any of our guests' names, past or present. You can find the Buffering Podcast on Stitcher Smart Radio by going to stitcher.com, or by downloading the Stitcher Smart Radio app for iOS, Android, Kindle Fire, and beyond. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. And we are also on social media. You can find us on Facebook by going to facebook.com/bufferingpodcast, or going to Twitter at Buffer Podcast. For both of those, you get updates about the website, release dates, photos, teasers, all that stuff. Follow us, like us, and we'll greatly appreciate it. But, and again, we want to thank Samuel Truth for letting us use some of his music as our theme, which you can hear behind us. And you can learn more about him at samueltruth.bandcamp.com. So, thank you very much for listening to episode 122. And here is Build a Title. Enjoy.
But if you guys haven't seen this, Conan O'Brien does game reviews at this point, called Clueless Gamer.
Yeah.
And he reviews a new wrestling game as one of them, and they do create a Conan character for the game, and he wrestles The Rock, and it is everything that you want it to be.
The Cone versus The Rock.
Because they even show Conan doing his entrance, and just him dancing around like as this beanpole of a character by comparison, and then lifting up The Rock and slamming him down multiple times. We'll watch it after. It's only like a 16-minute clip at most.
I saw him do Minecraft once, and it was hilarious. Cause it's like, people play this? Where are the guns?
And then there's also the Halo 4 review where Andy Richter actually provided voices for that game.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And, like, they're just two hidden characters stuck off in a corner, and I won't ruin
Adam
it.
Baldwin.
Yeah, it was fun. But this would be a great time to jump back in, and we've decided to play Build a Title today, and we've prepared ourselves and gotten ready. So I would say, let's see, Days of Thunder was the pitch from James for the practice round, which everyone can listen to at bufferingpodcast.com. But Bennett, do you have a two or more word title to launch us off for this game? And this is collaborative. We're not going to pit against each other.
That's for other podcasts.
Yeah, that's for when we're feeling vindictive.
All right, I'm going to do something a little topical because Captain America is coming out soon. So let's do Captain America.
We're
leaving out the subtitle, but I think that's okay.
No. See, I thought Tin Cup, but that's not right.
Great movie.
Cap. Oof.
America? All right, go for it.
American Beauty.
Oh, okay. So Captain American Beauty. Captain American Beauty and the Beast.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Can I follow up?
Sure. It's just people can. We're not.
I wanted to give, everyone else a turn.
I don't have ideas.
Captain American Beauty and the Beast Wars.
Wars. So I'm sticking with caps, like trying to think of something that ends in
Captain American Beauty
and the Beast Wars.
And the Beast Wars Sandlot. That doesn't work.
No. It, more than just the S.
Yeah.
Orson
Welles. Yeah.
Orson Welles. Cap. Can't think of anything that's...
Is there a movie called The Good Captain? Or is that...
It's I know there's Bad Lieutenant. And that's nowhere near that.
Sky Captain. There's Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought about that one.
But there's that whole World of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
What's Tomorrowland. Vanilla, Sky Captain, American Beauty and the Beast Wars.
Wait, no, but Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow.
Yeah, it's not a subtitle. It's actually like part of the main part title. It's not like Captain America, the First Avenger.
Yeah.
So that they could call it the First Avenger and not America, which nobody did, pretty much.
Trivia. I'm kind of stuck already. I don't know if anyone else wants to...
Yeah, our warm-up round went so well.
It was so fluid, and then we tried.
Cap.
Adam, start us off with another one.
Yeah, spontaneous.
Okay.
Not Captain America.
And not Thor. That's only one word.
That's true. That's very true.
Anything?
Something good. What's good?
How about this? I
the Lego movie's good, but make a terrible use of this game.
We had mentioned Wes Anderson before, so why not Grand Budapest Hotel? Because
Grand Budapest Hotel Rwanda.
Hmm.
You wouldn't go there, did you say?
Because we'd be able to start with Duh Mike or Wanda. Talent. What didn't Wanda Sykes have a show? What was that? Is Wanda?
I want to say A Fish Called Wanda, but that, I keep going with the wrong ends of words.
Was Wanda Sykes' show just called Wanda?
Wait.
I have no idea.
Was there like a Western show that was called like Wandering something?
Yeah, you're reaching. I don't
Grand
think so.
Budapest Hotel Rwanda. Nope.
Dom and Dumber. It's a guy named Dom. Hang out with this dumb guy. Dom. Rwanda.
We can't go with Rwanda, Beautiful Mind.
No, there was not the apostrophe D-A, Duh, Beautiful Mind.
Well, there wasn't with the last game or the warm-up either. Like, Superman-alize this. Come on, brother.
I got this.
Superman-alize.
Superman is one word, my friend.
No, we can build phonetically, but Duh, phonetics. Beautiful Mind. It's like, duh.
Yeah.
I got this.
Oh.
All right.
I got this. Grand Budapest Hotel Rwanda Vinci Code.
Ah. There we go.
Okay. What did we start?
Grand Budapest Hotel.
Grand Budapest Hotel
Rwanda
Vinci Code Monkeys.
Ah.
There we go.
Keys.
Monkeys.
I thought a monkey bone, but it's the plural kills it.
Monkey shines?
That's racist.
I don't know what it means.
Pass.
Was it? Didn't they do that in Clerks 2? Wasn't that
racist
slur that his grandma used that he doesn't realize is racist because it's his grandma?
Porch monkey.
Oh, porch monkey.
I'm bringing it back.
Oh God.
God.
I didn't think that was. Never mind.
Grand Budapest Hotel Rwanda.
Da Vinci
code
monkeys. Wait.
There's 12 monkeys.
No. Damn it, I just had it.
Sorry.
Monkeysy Rider.
Ooh, okay.
That works.
There we go.
Nice.
See, I keep the, I'm Bennett. You and I are on the same wavelength because now it's Ghost Rider.
And I'm thinking Riders of the Storm, but that's just a song.
Yeah, I thought of that too.
It's a good song.
Riders, Durango.
Now, I want to say Riders of the Lost Ark, but that's not at all.
If you say it with an Australian accent,
Riders of the Lost Ark. Yeah, I remember that part in the movie where they were like, "Yeehaw, get on that ark." Not singing this.
Australians are also cowboys.
Sure.
Okay. Well, because they're riding it.
Okay.
Grand Budapest Hotel, Rwanda, Vinci Code, Monkeys,
Easy Rider,
Rider.
Was there a movie that was just called Rio Grande or something like that? Or
there's a movie called Rio.
100 Grand or
Brewster's Millions, but that's not even close. Yeah.
Isn't Life Grand?
Life is Beautiful. I just saw all the translations, but not the.
I was told once by a great host that dead air equals
it's the worst.
No ratings.
Yeah, no,
so
it's,
I say
it's the worst.
We throw a new one out.
Okay.
Yes, I agree.
Okay, so why not do something from the Oscars and go with Dallas Buyers Club?
Is that? I don't think that's the name of a real movie.
I'll let you think that.
What's it called?
Dallas Buyers Club. What's Matthew McConaughey, Jared Leto. Jared Leto won Best Supporting Actor for that movie. It's basically about a guy who was diagnosed with AIDS while everyone else brainstorms. Please feel free to brainstorm stuff while I'm explaining this. Diagnosed with AIDS, and he realizes there are treatments available in Mexico that are not approved by the FDA. So he goes across the border, and he imports drugs back. But it's illegal technically under federal law to do so. So he says he's not bringing back drugs and selling them to people. He has people who are part of a club. And as a part of their subscription into the club, they have access to things. Justification, you know, legal, red tape, blah, 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 blah. It's interesting. I actually have not seen it yet because I'm not allowed to watch it until Emily gets back. But Dallas Buyers Club, I don't know if...
It's a club sandwich.
Yeah, club soda. God damn it! That our practice round was a really strong suit.
Maybe you just cut that in, and all of a sudden it happens now.
And all of a sudden we're really good at this.
Yeah.
And Dallas Buyers Club becomes the practice round.
Yes.
Let's just screw it. We use Dallas Buyers Club for the thing. Let's just jump right in with Days of Thunder. You can cut that all together, right?
You know what it is? We're trying too hard with a theme, so we just need spontaneity.
I'm not trying at all.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that.
How about let's go with 12 Years a Slave, and then let's go with Ocean's 12 Years a Slave. And now you guys go, because I just did two in a row.
Yeah, it's true, but Ocean's is...
It's hard.
Oceans.
Dumb Oceans, 12 Years a Slave.
Nice.
Am I going to do this whole thing by myself?
Yeah, I think you are. Wow, that was actually pretty good.
Dumb Oceans, 12 Years a Slave. The Last Dance. No.
Oh, wow. Jesus. Wow, that's an SNL skit in there somewhere.
Oh, wow.
Slave, The Last Dance.
Maybe I should do this one all myself to keep out Adam.
Yeah, no more racist terms from Adam tonight.
How was that racist?
Okay, try to picture what would happen to
play on
Slave
words.
The Last Dance.
It was a play on words, people. Okay.
Sorry, I'm drawing a blank here.
Is that a suggestion for a new title? Dance.
No, because Slave the Last Dance doesn't...
Yeah, Slave the Last is the end. Dances is not the same as Slave.
I thought about that, though, Katie. Dances with Wolves.
Yeah, Last and Slave, or Save and Slave are not the same.
Laverne and Shirley.
Oh,
Dumbo's Ocean 12
Years of Laverne and Shirley. No. Slaverne.
Maybe like, was there a movie like Christendom or...
How about The Kingdom Ocean's 12 Years a Slave?
No, that's King's Speech. Shit.
Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
There it is.
Okay.
All right.
Kingdom
Boshin's 12 years a slave.
Yeah, slave is a killer, but maybe we can build something off of Lord. I think of Lord of War, which doesn't work.
Think of Legend Lore, which is just a D&D spell.
But lore, folklore, trying to think of something that ends.
What's imaginary folklore? Is that a thing?
I've never heard of that before.
Hmm. No.
Never mind then.
I never want to play Scrabble with you, Adam. Be like, is that a word? I don't think that... Maybe that might be a word. Let's get the dictionary out again. I'm pretty sure that's a word.
In college, I played with people who insisted on having the Scrabble dictionary around. It's like, then you're not playing the game. You're just looking things up.
I just lose at that game.
I'm trying things.
Okay, how about this? I think I may have a potential starter.
All right.
Home Alone 2, Lost in New York. Because something has to end in home.
Fly Away, Home Alone 2,
Lost in New
York. I want to say Gangs in New York.
And then there has to be something that starts New York. New York.
Oh, God. What was the name of that Olsen twins thing in New York? Didn't that start with New York?
What?
Like their one movie when they were actually like adults. The Olsen twins. They had like a New York movie.
New York Minute.
Yeah. Is that called New York Minute?
It is New York Minute.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
So.
Ashamed a little bit, but yes, we have an answer. So.
Okay.
So, Fly Away, Home Alone 2, Lost New York, Minute Men.
Minute Men.
Yep.
Men in Black.
There we go. We're starting to build here.
All right. So, let's
So it's
Fly Away, Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, Minute Men in Black.
Yes.
Black
Beauty.
That's circular. Black Swan.
Yeah, Black Swan Princess.
Black Swan Princess. And
Princess
Bride.
Diaries?
Princess Bride.
Princess Bride.
Of Frankenstein.
Frankenstein's
Monster is the name of a movie, isn't it?
Frankenstein-y something. Tiny.
Frankenstein. Tiny Soldiers?
Small Soldiers is what you're thinking of. But Tiny
Fly
Dancer.
Away, Home Alone, Lost in New York, Minute Men in Black, Swan,
Princess
Beauty, Princess Bride.
Princess, what do we?
Bride of Frankenstein.
Bride of Frankenstein.
What's the first word?
Fly.
I mean, there's the fly, but that doesn't work.
Superfly, but...
Oh, yes. Yeah, I remember...
There isn't a movie called that.
There is.
There is, yeah.
There is, so...
Is Learn to Fly a movie, though?
Learning to Fly was a Foo Fighters song.
Yeah,
Learn to Fly, yeah.
Or, yeah, Learn to Fly, you're right.
But I mean, Superfly would work, but
something ends in super.
Bowling for
soup. Oh, thank you, producer Katie. Duck Superfly.
Oh yeah,
thank you. Oh, I am.
The mighty Duck Superfly.
But it's based in Minnesota, so we'll let it slide.
No, it
okay, it's there.
Duck Super.
Okay, all right. The Mighty Duck Super Flyaway, Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, Minutemen in Black.
Swan,
Princess,
Bride of Frankenstein.
Yes.
Okay.
I think.
Mighty Joe Young? Nope.
Mighty Aphrodite? Nope.
Right is Might. Nope. Something ends in my.
All I think of right now is the Celebrity Jeopardy skit with these like, I'll take the penis miter. And be like, that's the pen is mightier. And he's like, I don't care what it's called. Does it work, man? So good.
See, I was thinking of me, myself, and Irene. That's my
black swan princess bride of Frankenstein.
Black swan princess bride.
Racist.
Of Frankenstein.
But yeah, no.
No, that doesn't work, Dan. You can't use that.
Oh,
what were you thinking?
Because I thought of Young Frankenstein.
No,
I thought of
what about Young Joe Mighty, the gorilla movie?
That's Mighty Joe Young.
Whatever. It works in dyslexic movie title builder.
Yeah.
Mighty Joe Young.
Oh!
Bruce Almighty.
Oh, that works.
Wait.
Bruce Almighty. Ducks,
yeah.
Super,
Fly Away, Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, Minute Men in Black, Swan, Princess Bride of Frankenstein.
Yes.
What's the movie with Jason Bateman? It's something Brew, isn't it?
Strange Brew?
No, but I like Strange Brew instead. I think it's like something grain, so I just knew there was beer involved.
Yeah.
But Strange Canada, Brew or... eh? Yeah, probably Strange Brew.
They get jelly-filled donuts.
Drink a Molson.
Let's see. Strange.
Strange Bruce Almighty.
Andromeda Strange
Brew. Ooh.
Brew. Say the whole thing.
Andromeda Strange Bruce Almighty Duck Super
Fly
Away Home Alone 2 Lost in New York
Minute
Men in Black Swan Princess Bride of Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Not bad.
I'd watch cool. That.
Swim Fandromeda. That's yes, that's amazing. Can we please use that?
Yeah, we can use some swim fan. Swim.
All right, producer Katie. She's making a face.
Swim.
Describe the face. What did it look like?
It looked like
that face that we like saw in the...
Squee, kind of, but with a little bit more terror.
It looked a lot like that.
He's pointing to the lizard face.
Yeah.
Tiny Toons. Bride of Frankenstein's Tiny Toons.
Oh, that works.
Ooh.
Tiny Toon Adventures. Yeah,
Tiny Toon Adventures, yeah.
Adventures in babysitting.
Same wavelength.
When are you guys going to do Adventures of Jimmy Neutron?
Nope.
It's babysitting. Because that has Thor in it. Sort
it
of.
Does. Well, the hat.
No, helmet. She calls... The guy,
the
mechanic.
Yep, he's Thor.
Yep.
All right, so.
Oops, I kicked the thing.
From so the top. Angry.
Okay, so. How does it start?
Swim, Andromeda, strange brew, almighty ducks, super fly away home to
lost in New York, Minutemen in black swan, princess bride of Frankenstein-y tunes, adventures in babysitting.
In babysitting.
It was great just sitting here listening to
it's
you
like
all
I gave up
too.
It's like, I'm just going to listen.
It's yeah. I was saying it, and then I realized, like, oh, I'm a step behind. I'm just saying what he's saying.
But, you know, this
it's like
is actually.
When I sang We Three Kings.
This is actually the perfect time to stop and do plugs.
What?
Yeah.
Stop.
Hey, we have such a good one.
Well, let's stop before we ruin it
leave
ourselves.
It perfect.
Okay,
forever.
But we're ahead. Fair enough.
So, James, do you have anything to plug coming up Friday or thereafter that people should know about? To put you on the spot? In some way?
No. Edit this out and come back to me in 30 seconds. Talk about
how about Bennett? Bennett, what about you?
Well, this Friday, as in every Friday, board games at in Roseville at Fantasy Flight... is open gaming. If you heard of Twilight Imperium, on Saturdays a group gets together every week at 11:30 and plays that, and they are very welcoming to new players. Also, Wednesdays, I know this is going to be out after that, but they do every Wednesdays there is open gaming, and Wednesdays are actually like really their craziest board game day, it feels like, because sometimes they get... Warhammer guys in or whatever, or just people clicking, but Wednesdays, like, people show up around 7-ish in Roseville at the Fantasy Flight, and they play board games, and they have food, and it's really spacious, and it's brightly lit, and they have tons of tables, and it's just a really nice space to board game.
Their new facility is spectacular.
Oh, it's amazing. The buffalo wings are good.
Yeah, and you can get food and drink.
Yep.
And do you have a website to...
I actually don't know if they have it updated yet. Last I checked, they still had like the old location.
Yeah.
It's address on there.
I think on Facebook, it's just Fantasy Flight Event Center.
Yeah, Fantasy Flight is based... Like, that's their big location is in Minnesota. And it's like right like in the same building as where they Fantasy Flight designs all their games.
You know, Fantasy Flight Games is now hiring, as I pull up fantasyflightgames.com.
Oh, yeah. They're kind of understaffed. They'd like to be open more, but they just need people to work in a game store. Available.
Marketing. Ooh, hello.
Will they pay me lots of money?
I don't know. They just hired their whole cook. I mean, like, when they opened this location, they hired chefs and stuff, too. But I don't think I plugged that then. Fantasy Flight.
I don't know, Flash. Stop. That kills me.
That's cool. I want to check that place out.
It's amazing. Let me know.
Yeah.
I'll be the guy who looks like me in the pictures.
Any stockable social media of sorts? Twitter.
Oh, no. Things. Nobody can find me on anything.
Nope, you don't exist.
But you guys should also keep up on Twitch Plays Pokemon.
There we go. There's the plug.
There it is.
So, James, we've edited out the switcheroo, so things coming up for you.
So, since I was talking about the WWE earlier, and I like to plug other things that I'm doing, in addition to this podcast, if you like wrestling in general, everything from the current product that's on television to more independent stuff, I'm part of a group called Loogie, the League of Extraordinary Wrestling Gentlemen Incorporated. We have a podcast called Heel Turn Radio, which you can look up. Also, I encourage everybody to get out there and support local wrestling, especially check out PJ Petey Thorne. He wrestles for Primetime Wrestling. He does reffing. He's one of our buddies. There's some upcoming events. American Wrestling Federation in Pine River, Minnesota on the 29th. The 28th, Primetime Wrestling, Night of Columbus Hall in Bloomington. American Wrestling Federation up at Grand Casino Mille Lacs on the 5th of April. And then back to the big, big, big guys, WrestleMania, April 6th, WWE Network, streaming wrestling, total back catalog, all the way back to crazy, crazy old stuff you probably watched as a kid or your dad watched as a kid. Check it out. I think they have a little extended free trial on the WWE Network. You can find me on the interwebs at James Wheeler, capital M, capital N, from Minnesota. Boom. That's it.
Cool.
Also, check out the Excelsior Brewing Oat Stout.
Oat Stout. It's the Orlock?
Orlock.
O-A-R Lock. It's available in bottle form in many locations around the Twin Cities, including lots of Byerly's liquor stores have them. Hmm. But I imagine you could go to the Excelsior Brewing Co. in Excelsior and get it, you know, fresh from the tap, or buy a growler for some money.
There's one other benefit that's coming up. Kenny J is they're having a benefit for Kenny J, sponsored by Heavy on Wrestling, American Legion Hall, Savage, Minnesota. If you're an old school guy, Mean Gene Okerlund is going to be there. Larry the Axe Hennig is going to be there. Paul Ellering, who used to manage the Road Warriors, is going to be there. Baron Von Roschke, the originator of the Claw. Jumpin' Jim Brunzel, Eddie Sharkey, and more surprises. So get out there and help a hell of a guy.
Cool. Okay. Well, I have a few things to plug tonight. Several episodes, Nick Fugit plugged a show called Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries, and I finally got a chance to watch a couple episodes, and it is really good, like really enjoyable. So I'd love to throw my plug in there for that one. Check it out on Netflix. It's a show made in Australia. Great production value, great costuming. Really, really fun plots with good mystery there. So, part two of this plug session for me is this Monday, March 31st, is when Madness is going to be happening again over at the Playwrights Center, hosted by the Unit Collective. And again, that is the Unit Collective is a collective of playwrights, and they each write a 10-minute play, hand the scripts off to a bunch of actors, and they rehearse for about a half hour and then perform the play the same night. So it's like a quick, fun shot of theater, and some really amazing work has come out of it. And some really funny stuff, too. Really funny stuff. So go check that out. Playwright Center, I believe it starts at 7:30, Monday, March 31st. And you can find... Oh, also... I plugged this last week. I'll plug it again. Cosmos on Fox.
Oh, God.
And National Geographic on Mondays.
And National Geographic.
It's on the Hulus.
And it's on Hulu. It's fantastic. They just had the third episode last Sunday. So Sunday's at 8 on Fox. And then
an hour after Bob's Burgers. So, or half an hour after. So enjoy multiple Fox programs at once.
Yeah, exactly. So
find it and watch it again and again and again.
Yes.
It's fantastic. And so my brother-in-law helped out on it, so that's really cool too.
Woo!
Yeah. And then you can find me on Twitter at @ADAMERDMANN. And that's going to do it for me this evening. Dan, what do you have?
It's not a plug for me, but something to watch out for. The primary players from Mystery Science Theater 3000 will be returning to television with a Riff Tracks show on National Geographic as well.
Oh, really?
Mike Nelson, Kevin Murphy, and Bill Corbett will be bringing their online audio series Riff Tracks to a TV show of the same name for National Geographic, with three episodes set to air on April 1st, which is actually one Tuesday away from us at this point. So next Tuesday, it's on National Geographic. No idea what to expect at this point. It could be riffing TV. It could be more B-movies. If you go to rifftracks.com, you can actually purchase MP3s for a lot of popular movies that they have riffed solo as well as collaboratively. So definitely check all of those out, but keep an eye out for what they have to promise in the future with, you know, the most recent Mystery Science Theater team. For myself, I don't have anything specific going on other than plugging Christo's Greek Restaurant in Minnetonka, Minneapolis, and St. Paul, Christo's.com. St. Paul, we're in the Union Depot. Minneapolis, we're on Eat Street between 26th and 27th Street. Minnetonka, we're on Highway 7 between Williston and Tonkawood. Great Greek food, recently reviewed as the best Greek food by Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine. Again, Christos.com. And you can find me on Twitter at Dan L. Whalen, W-H-E-L-A-N. So that's it for me.
I hear they got really cute guy managers, too, at them Christos restaurants.
Yeah, that guy with the bow tie.
Yeah, he's a real cutie patootie.
Yeah. Ah, thank you. Bennett James, thank you very much for joining us for episode 122.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you.
And tip your hosts.
And thank you to Funyuns for having a distinct crunch to your bite. And we will see everyone next week for episode 123. 123.
Numbers.
Goodbye.
Woo!